The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Spring is just around the corner, which means cases of cabin fever are on the rise. Lucky for you, Dr. Pepper is giving away a cure in their Cabin Fever Getaway Sweepstakes. One winner will receive $2,500 to get out of the house and go to a location of their choice. You could head to a beach, escape to the mountains, or find a local hideaway. Where you go is up to you. To enter, visit drpeppergetaway.com and submit the entry form. That's drpeppergetaway.com.
Alright, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about concentration camps. Maybe you know them as gulags, labor camps, you know, the good stuff.
Re-education camps, there's a couple of them.
What did the U.S. call it with the Japanese? They were re-education.
Internment camps.
See, yeah. You could go all over the place here.
Re-education labor camps.
You got to wonder. Yeah, exactly.
There's all sorts of different names for the same thing, but I mean, it's all,
You know, because camps are fun, right?
It is fun. Everyone, everybody.
When you were young, they train you from an early age that, you know, You want to go to camp. Like the cool kids always go to camp where mom and dad
got activities and crafts, you know?
Canoeing. Yeah, that's not exactly the canoeing and stuff is not exactly where I was going with that today. But what I would say is, how do you get there, right? How as a society do we shift in our minds, I guess, to where that's okay? You know, hey, yeah, you know, it'd be all right to round up that group because, you know, they're a little fishy. And maybe they smell bad. Maybe they don't work as hard, right?
Maybe they eat weird food that smells bad. Lazy, right?
Lazy. They have a different god. You know, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. We'll put them in a camp, you know?
Conniving.
Yep.
Maybe they just have bad political ideas.
Greedy money hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You've seen those.
Sexual deviants.
Now, yeah, I've heard they can put people right on. How cool would it be if you had trains that could take you to camp? Because you put those two things together, getting on a train, going for a ride, and going to camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is
here's an idea. Here's an idea. What if, just hear me out, what if you're in doing it, having sex with dudes, right?
All right. I see it.
And then they got all the people that were into having sex with dudes and got them all together and put them in one spot.
Dude camp?
Together.
You're thinking
seems like time. That would be like disco lights. It would be a fun time.
So they just have to put some like boas or the, you know, the big streamers, something with flair.
Yeah.
Flair. On the cars and they'd a little disco light and they'd go.
It sounds, I'm sure this would be fun for everybody involved.
Kevin. All right. So before we dive down that rabbit hole of Kevin's entertainment and fun of, you know, the joy of concentration camps, let's talk about like, how do you really get people to kind of go along with that? Well, one of the things they had in Nazi Germany was they were gonna put the Jews back to work, because there were a lot of immigrants, and they didn't know, you know, they didn't have things to do. They were trying to kind of figure it out. So they put the Jews back to work. They built hospitals. They set up soup kitchens, provided newspapers and vocational training. And here's the nice one. Here's the wording that you want to use. They moved them to resettlements. See, you thought concentration camp, but no, it's a resettlement.
Okay, you know what? All right.
We have a home for you. We have something good.
A better place.
They kind of like painted it as the whole Germany was the victim, right? Germany had been kind of, you know, shoved into a bad spot. They painted it about how at the end of World War II, they were treated so unfairly. And, you know, they're just trying to stick up for theirs. And I think that's like how it starts. And that's how you get people to ignore that at Auschwitz, they said 1.3 million people went in. And the average life expectancy in Auschwitz was 6 to 9 weeks for a prisoner. Ooh. Yeah. So that's not a good survival rate. For those of you that are wondering.
The fucked up thing about Auschwitz specifically is they had, as you were entering the camp, they had a big sign that said, "Work will set you free." Yes. But this is really just a sick joke, because you worked until you died. You know what I mean?
Did it set you free in a different kind of way?
Yeah, it's not really what you think of when you first read the sign, but
no,
it was true. It was just a fucked up joke.
All right. Well, that was the thing, too. They would put out pictures. It was like a big propaganda thing where they had the Red Cross come in and check out one of the camps. And look, these kids are happy. They're having a good time.
Well dressed.
That's kind of a contradiction to, you know, this. This is the women's camp. Mm-hmm. It's rough. And it's short order to get, like, you know, it really can be a different, you know, you could accidentally slip in a picture like, oh, wait, no, that's not out.
Not that one.
All right. No, that's the whole thing. And they were just doing these horrible atrocities. And, you know, people were like, well, yeah, but those people were bothersome anyway. You know, and, you know, well, those were the gay people. Those were the, the Nazis didn't just go after the Jews, it turns out. You know, they
had a whole list. They had a whole list. Slavs, right? Gypsies.
Yep, gypsies. I don't know. So, and then that's the thing. So North Korea, same type of thing. North Korea has camps. Now, North Korea goes a whole other propaganda angle where they actually punish three generations of your family.
Right.
Now, the trick here is nobody really wants to help you escape or stick up for you or do anything if they know they're going to get rounded up as well.
Yeah, right. And their kids and their grandkids.
And their grandkids. Because you might be tough and willing to sacrifice yourself, but are you willing to sacrifice your babies or Grams, right? I mean, didn't Grams take care of you?
Right.
And now you're willing to throw Grams into the labor camp? Come on. That's not cool.
She ain't going to make it far. You know, she's got an arthritis.
Arthritis, right.
Grandma doesn't need to be in the concentration camp. Right. Come on.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, now World War II finally came to an end. They, like I said, we don't, you guys have seen the videos. You've seen the bulldozers. You've seen the stacks of the shoes and the things that were going on in Nazi Germany. You know, we all know about the gas chambers, and if people showed up and they were pregnant or they looked lazy or you didn't think they could do work or they were missing a limb or something like that, they were right to the gas chamber, you know, and they would actually, One of the tricks that they used to kind of go with was, oh, is there anybody here not able to work? Mm-hmm. Is there anybody who, you know, has a condition, needs to kind of take it easy? We got a separate place for you to go rest and like mm-hmm. that. And those people would actually volunteer. Oh, I can't work. Yeah, I gotta. And they got kind of rooted out right away. They went right to the showers.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't end well. And that's the thing. They had the whole gas chamber and the horrible. And sometimes things are so horrible that people can't even believe, you know, right. that's going on. And you're like, well, not my country. We wouldn't do that because we're above that. We're the civilized world.
Right.
And, right. you know,
yeah. Nazi Germany was civilized at a certain point, too. You know what I mean?
It's all good until it isn't. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, if you can industrialize everything, you can industrialize killing people too, right?
They had the best scientists, right? Didn't we steal them all after Operation Paperclip?
Yep.
All right. So that's basically the setup. Now, World War II ends. Now, a lot of people think that America went in and kicked ass, and we kind of shut down Japan. There's no doubt about that. You can't make an argument against that. But I did hear Donald Trump actually said, oh, you know, the Russians shut down Germany. And everyone's like, he's an idiot. He doesn't even know history and whatever. And actually, if you read a book, it turns out it really was the Russians that kind of put a stop to the German shenanigans there. Now,
yeah, when a lot of the concentration camps were in, you know, Poland, and we're in these places between Russia and Germany. Uh-huh. And it was the Russians that actually invaded Berlin. You know, the English and the Americans, they hadn't made it to Berlin. You know, they weren't going to make it there for a while.
Right. So with that, I mean, you know, everybody had a hand in it, but when that ended, we were about done with war. As a society, we kind of decided, hey, you know, this is about all we can handle, and we're done with it, and we let it go. And the way it ended up, Russia actually had their own camps, and they had some people in camps as well, and they mm-hmm. kept those camps running, and we just were like, cool with it. Like, I understand. We were done with war. And we'd already given a lot of American lives. And to say, hey, we're going to go take on another giant, you know, army is another thing. But to ignore history and pretend that they didn't have some shadiness going on, I think is a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think we like to sweep under the carpet. Now, America had their own issues going on at the time. When it comes to camps, I don't know if you know, but there were some Japanese Americans. What happened there, Kevin?
Yeah, so there was about 100,000 of them.
It's a lot.
Now, the Japanese settled on the West Coast when they were first coming to the United States, and that was really one of the earlier migrations of Asians coming to the United States was coming to California. A lot of Chinese in the early 1900s. Early or late 19th century. And, the Japanese, came over, quite a bit of Japanese came over, and, they were worried. They were worried that these Japanese people were spying for Japan, you know, and it's obvious to be, you know, they look different. You know what I mean? You can pick them out. It's not like, you know, a German spy, you know, there was, what is it? I think it was 60% of people in the United States were of German ancestry, but they look like all the other white people. You know what I mean? They're not obvious. You don't put them in camps.
You can tell they're a little angrier when you look at their eyes.
Hostile. But I mean, you know, one of the big things, one of the important things for these types of stuff is it's real easy to make an enemy when you can say, you know, that skin color is a little yellow, isn't it? Little different, you know, your eyes are a little bit different, and there's a, I saw a propaganda paper that they were issuing to troops during the Second World War, where they're talking about the difference between, how to spot the difference between Japanese and Chinese people. And it was extremely fucked up. The more I read it, the more like super racist it was, you know?
Yeah.
The Chinese had almond-shaped eyes, and the Japanese had conspiratorially,
yes,
you know, shaped eyes. It was like just ridiculous. I don't think it helped anybody actually tell the difference between a Japanese person and a Chinese person, but you know, it was a big deal at that point. China was our ally, and Japan was the enemy.
Well, I mean, it's funny because you think of how. I mean, I saw this a lot when I was in boot camp and in the military. They really put a lot of effort, our own government, I'm sure other governments and other militaries, into making it so that you see the enemy not as a person kind of right. thing. You really do. I mean, they come up with all the nicknames and the whatever. I mean, I'm sure that it naturally happens because there's a lot of shady people with some shady values, but I think they go with it and they encourage it or they instigate it, and things go where you really get a disdain for the different types of people. I mean, I remember hearing stories of World War II vets, you know, telling me, oh, well, those, you know, slanty eyes or, you know, whatever, right. where you hear, you know, these things that it's just matter of fact to them. And the people become like an object or a joke rather than, you know, than an individual and a person. And what I worry about is it was so easy for these cultures to put these people into camps and do these things, or at least not dig into it, you know, to allow it to go on without, you know, really getting to, you know, hey, what's happening here? Are we doing something that we shouldn't be? And because you see the people as less than. And I so worry about the American culture now that we do a lot of these things where we devalue human life as people. You know, we really don't see, you know, you're like, well, they're Democrats. I mean, you know, I could even say that in a way, I've kind of, you know, had some of this mindset with, like, Ayn Rand always talks about, well, if people don't have thought, do they even have value? You know? So if they can't think or make a decision, then do they have less value than somebody who, you know, thinks and comes up with ideas and has a plan and whatever? Because if you're not making decisions, then what are you, you know, Are you even existing? You know, how do you, it gets deep. You know what I'm saying? It just, the more thought you have, the more value we see things. I always used to give the example, like people don't mind eating chicken because when you look at a chicken, you don't see any real thought going on there. You know, he pecks at dirt, he sees something shiny and he pecks right. at it. That's about the extent of its, you know, thought. Whereas a horse or a dog, you know, people who've been around horses know that they're, you know, pretty smart animals and they have a lot of thought. And we're like, oh, I wouldn't eat a horse. That would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I think we do that to people. And, you know, in our mind, people kind of get the idea, well, they're Democrats. So, you know, they're kind of stupid. They don't have any thought. They're just going along and following. And absolutely, people are like, oh, look at the Trump followers. They don't have any thought. They're just blindly going along and following. And any dumb thing he says, they're right on board with it. You know, they go along and you know, it turns out Trump may have actually said some dumb things. I mean, I know that's hard to believe, but it's been a thing that, you know, people get into this whole groupthink. And the more that we do as a society, the less value I think people attribute to you, you know, as you're kind of part of the collective, right.
You know, that was always one of the things where they talked about, people got worried about, you know, we were
I don't know, in the 80s and 90s, the big thing in the schools was to make us like a global community. And, you know, society as a whole mattered more than the individual. You know, you had to think, you had to think about saving the whole planet instead of taking care of your yard and your community. You know, it was, we got to think bigger than that. And, you know, it's nice to think big and have big dreams, but on the flip side, it's very, very important that you have value, you know, on your own. And I think that the more you get into that collective, and obviously staring at your phone and watching videos over and over again all day long or listening to different things, if you're not exposed to new ideas and new thought, I don't know. It loses value. I guess that's where right. I would go with that.
Right. I mean, I know a lot of people that can have, you know, political discussions that, you know, after about 30 seconds, though, they run out of, you know, slogans to say, and they don't really know what the right. fuck they're talking about anymore. You know, there's, you know, they're the phrases that stick out in your head. And then, you know, you say those things over and over again. And then that's it, though. There's no further thought about it or why that slogan makes any sense or anything like that.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's probably part of it. Instead of reading a fucking book, we're getting our ideas from a 30-second news bite, you know.
Yeah.
A sound clip of a talking head someplace. And that's our, you know, that's as much intellectual thought that we're putting in this stuff. But it is one of those things, though, you know. You know, gay people are gross, right? Those people look different than me, you know. They don't even speak English. You know what I mean? Like, I read somewhere recently. They're talking about that, about how it's how people of a given race are much more compassionate towards people of the same race than they are of a different race. And the only way that changes is if you spend time with people of that other race and you get to be like, oh yeah, I you know, they're really just exactly like me. They just look like, different.
They have the same,
sound different.
Right.
You know,
everybody just wants to take care of their family and do better and, you know, whatever. And you realize these, I mean, except for, of course, you know, like Muslim terrorists or something, those people don't even right. care about their family. And they're just yeah. out to kill Americans.
Yeah. And so, I remember in boot camp, that was the war on terror was the thing. And that, right. like you were talking about earlier in boot camp, they had all sorts of names. They're given right. about, you know, yep. about Middle Easterners. I could come right. up with, you know, right, 10 right. different slurs off the top of my head, because that's, you know, that's a thing. It's a dehumanizing thing, right?
It's unbelievable how we get, and you know, you see it in your heart. You're like, oh, I would never think that, like me and black people are like this, you know, right. we're, well, yeah, but those, cause you know, those people and you got to, you know, interact mm-hmm. and you meet people, those people, right. You like that.
I remember a friend of mine was talking. He grew up, he was in the military. He grew up in a town that didn't have any black people. It had one, sure. one black person. And he said that his dad was super racist.
Right.
You know, he did not like, except right. for Bob, except for Bob well, that lives Bob. Up the street. He's the okay.
Yeah.
yeah. The one black guy I know, he's okay. It's all the other ones, you know, and it's easy to do that. Oh, but, you know, I know a black guy, you know what I mean? I know, you know, I'm not racist. I know one black person.
It's funny. I had a buddy at work and he kind of has that typical angry black man thing, just where everything's like a hostile attack. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure right now I'm mincing words and getting into all kinds of trouble. Yeah,
and but, Chuck is the quintessential right. angry white man. So
right. Exactly. Right. I mean, that's what it is. Right. So we were having, and he would always be like, you know, I'm so sick and tired of people saying that, you know, my sister is married to a black guy, so it's okay. Or, yeah. you know, oh, well, my, you know, my cousin, he married a black girl. So there's that, but, mm-hmm. but you think that, and then it's funny because we'd have discussions and he would be like, well, you know, my sister is married to a veteran, so I can tell you how VA healthcare should be. And
right.
and I'm like, right. whoa, don't just You can't drop that.
Start generalizing us because you know one person.
Yeah. I'm like, nope. But that's the thing. Once you get to know people, you're like, hey, you know, we do have those same values. We do all really want the same things. Now, we may express them different. We may show love and affection for people different than, you know, than somebody from another part of the country. You know, maybe something else is a different priority for us, you know, food or, you know, whatever, how we do things, or, you know, maybe fitness, maybe work ethic is different. You know, the Germans had a decent work ethic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they were like, oh, the Jewish people, they don't work like we work. And then, you know, it just was easy to, you know, to separate things. But that's so much how we do in society. You know, I think no matter what, you just group people, you know, you talk about, we talked about those studies a while back where, you know, oh, well, all the kids in the class with blue eyes, they're, you know, they're smarter than everybody else.
Cause, right.
That's obvious. And we find a way, and it doesn't matter what, you know, oh, the guy has dumb facial hair. Look, he's got a freaking beard. He's a loser, you know, that kind of thing. But it turns out we all kind of have the same values. But anyway, I don't know how we segued into such
a little off topic
but division there, but that's the thing. That's how it happens. That's how, as a society, we can go, well, those people, and we're okay with that. And even if you're not okay, people end up with the, I'm afraid to speak up. Like, how many times have you been at, you know, the office water cooler kind of thing? You know, obviously there's a version wherever you work. A lot of us probably don't work in offices with the, you know, lifestyle that we live, but, you know, who knows? So you're at the office water cooler, and people start, you know, maybe you're a pro Biden fan. I don't know who that person is, but right. And everybody else there
pro Biden. I think there's some people that are anti-Trump, but nobody's pro Biden.
Everybody there is, you know, pro Trump and MAGA, you know, crazy red hat wearing, make America great again people. And when they start saying stuff, you get quiet. You're like, oh, okay. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to stay out of this one. Because one, we don't want to do battle every minute. I mean, some people do. Like, I live on that. But, you know, other people, they don't want to, you know, jump into that challenge. And there's even people at work that I disagree with politically who, when they start going with their stuff, I'm like, well, you know, when they make a valid point, I'm like, well, that one's right. You know, I'll give you that. That's fair. Because I don't want to, but I don't really jump in on everything. Because you know how that argument's going to go. You know, you're just like, oh, you're dumb. You're dumb. Trump's an idiot. Look, he's orange. And, you know, you're like, well, yeah, I can't really argue that, you know. And
that one is a valid point.
He does have orange, and that's hair that, you know, that wraps around his head 100 times.
Yeah, he's got like, you know, 6 comb overs happening at the same time. I don't even know how it's possible. But again, getting sidetracked. I'm sorry.
But we just, you stay quiet because you're like, I can't do battle every minute, or I don't want to be looked at as the outsider and, hey, everybody at work is not going to like me. Well, that's how it happens, though. It's like, oh, well, there's a couple of things that we can touch on that we know that a lot of people disagree with. And then they start building on that. And they start dividing us, and we get very divided and separated. And then it's those people. And then, look, there's no way they could make these stupid decisions unless they were less than and stupid. And we need to get rid of those people because they're just ruining society for the rest of us, or they're destroying their planet. And then how much more is it when you build up the ideas that what they're doing is actually hurting the rest of us, right? I mean, that's the big thing we have going with the whole climate change and all this. Look, those people are so messed up. You know, when people have guns, it puts everyone in society at risk because the crazy right wingers could all have guns and start shooting up places because that's what they do. And we see it over and over again in the news. And you're like, well, those radicals, we should have red flag laws where you could just say, hey, you know, that person, they're the bad one. Let's get them out of society and put them away. We'll send them to Gitmo because, you know, they're depressed. They have problems. It, you know, there's a lot of bad things, and it escalates, and people get into that groupthink, and it just goes down the whole, you know, rabbit hole of, you know, crazy town. Now, let's talk about America. Let's talk about the Patriot Act. That kind of grouped people together and, you know, kind of, it basically said we can do whatever we want with terrorists.
Right.
Well, the problem
if you love
was
America and you're a patriot, you should support the Patriot Act.
Right. You would have no problem. And thing is, we can only take away everybody's rights if they're a terrorist.
Right.
But the problem is, since 2001 and now, it's been a rather quickly sliding scale of what a terrorist is. And now somebody who supports somebody who colluded with Russia and tried to overthrow the government, or somebody who questions elections, those people don't really love America. Like, why would you question our system? Mm-hmm. You know? And that's the road, you know, you kind of go down. It gets crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going through a list of modern day concentration camps.
Okay.
So there are two actually happening in the United States today that they had listed on the concentration camps. One is Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, wait.
The other one was there you go. Yep. That's happening today.
Right.
Right now.
Now, I'm told there's only like 40 people at Guantanamo Bay that are prisoners, but I don't
They're filtering them out, but I mean, it basically they're there until they die. You know what I mean? It's life sentence. It's not like they're going to let them go, even if they're picked up incorrectly for the wrong reason. It's not like they're just going to let them out now. You know, they've been torturing them for 20 years. It's not like they're going to be friendly to the United States after they leave. You know,
right? Right. We're going to build up that goodwill if we teach them.
Yeah, they're never getting out of there. the other one is that they had mentioned was the immigration detainment camps, people being detained on visas or invalid visas or illegally crossing the border or illegal immigrants that had committed crimes, people waiting deportation. So, I mean, they're not starving them to death and working them to death that we know of, right? I don't really know what's happening in those camps, though.
You know, the German population, they didn't know what was going on a lot in those camps either. I mean, people had ideas, rumors were coming out, but it was slow for those ideas to get out to society. And that was one of the big things that the Germans kept playing on. They were like, well, remember they lied about all this other stuff?
Right.
They're lying about that too. And how much do we hear in society? Well, you know, the Republicans are just lying, or the Democrats are just lying. And, you know, and that's fake news, right? Fake news.
Mm-hmm. Fake news. That's a big fucking catchphrase right there.
Right? How much have we conditioned people that fake news is a thing and crazy conspiracy theories? That's actually why we did that conspiracy episode a couple weeks back. Because I just kind of wanted to drive home the idea that, you know, hey, just because something sounds a little far out there doesn't mean that it's not reality. Or that it's not happening. And we're so quick to dismiss things with the whole fake news thing, or at least the media is. And even if, like, at your core, you're like, well, you know, I know that some of it's not fake news, but you have a little less trust of anything because of the way you're conditioned. I think that scale, it's always a sliding bar, you know. They talk about that Overton window, you know, your level of acceptance. You know, we used to think that we could drink water out of the sink.
Right.
Or even the hose before that. I mean, that comes out in the backyard. And now, God forbid, it doesn't come out of a water bottle. I mean, it's just not even going to taste good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now we have to worry about, we got the lead out of the water. Now we have to worry about the microplastics, which it turns out if you're getting your water out of a water bottle, that's a plastic water bottle.
There might be some
Oh, so much worse than the sink, dude. It is full of that stuff.
Yeah, it is.
I was reading some studies about that recently, and if you're worried about microplastics, don't get your
Yeah.
bottled water from the gas
No, we
station.
need to go back to the glass.
That's it.
I
That's
don't
it.
know.
I saw some
Just
asshole was selling water in cardboard boxes. So, I mean, it's getting weird out there, but whatever. Whatever. I mean, those microplastics have a correlation with shrinking people's taints. So,
That
that's
can't be
weird,
good.
but it is looking like that's a fact. So, you know,
Kevin's always
just
dropping the
think about
facts
that the
today.
next time you have a big sip of a water bottle.
Now, one of the crazy things is everyone kind of one of the crazy things is that people always think, well, America, we could never do it. And then you hear the more right-wing conservative types talk about how FEMA's got, you know, 800 camps, and you see these maps on the internet, all the potential FEMA camps, you know, set up already and pre-staged because they're going to come, you know. And I don't know. Everything I saw, you know, was like, well, that's a lie. That's not, you know, FEMA doesn't have camps and whatever. And honestly, they're not that good at setting up camps. We saw after Katrina, we saw after 9/11. I'm showing one right now in Gridley, California, that they did, but it was to help after a wildfire. I mean, you know, people came in and they were like, hey, look, we can set you guys up. And they have a good place, and there are good things that could come out of FEMA. I just can't imagine there's ever a scenario where they're like, ooh, a natural disaster happened. You should come to the FEMA camp, and that's going to be better.
Right.
But in my mind, that probably will never exist.
Yeah.
But
You're starving to death or you're dying, you know, because you drank bad water and you're dying of dehydration. I don't know. It's still questionable.
it's still questionable. How would you like to be surrounded by 1,000 other people who are starving and dying? And yeah, it just doesn't sound good. But I mean, I think they do have a place. They actually, FEMA was a spinoff of the Federal Civil Defense Administration, came out in the 1950s, or actually 1950. But I think it had good intentions, I think. I'm not even sure on that one. Seems like our government's always looking for another angle to take control of stuff. And you know, they took control of that whole Mount Weather thing and set up for government continuity, and they were gonna, you know, make sure that the world kept going if things got bad. But I don't know.
Yeah. So side of the United States concentration camps that are
Okay.
currently going on, there's a couple other ones that are happening right now.
All over China.
Yeah, well, we talked about North Korea. That's been going on since 1948. They're called penal labor camps, re-education labor camps. They're located in central and northeastern Korea in secluded mountain valleys, completely isolated from the outside world. And it's estimated about 80,000 to 200,000 people are in these camps. So,
Oh, well, you could find yourself in a North Korean prison camp if you did something horrible, like having a computer
right.
or not having your picture in a prominent place of the dear leader.
Yeah. In your home, you got to have dear leader up there,
Or maybe
you
your
know?
brother didn't have a picture of the dear leader in his house. Like, then obviously you should be sent to one of these
Yeah. Or
camps
your
because,
grandpa.
right. Or maybe somebody heard that your grandpa didn't respect the dear leader.
Yeah, it's
So.
kind of easy to end up in those. But I mean, honestly, if you're a North Korean, you're not like the top, you know, the top 5%, you're probably starving to death either way. So, I mean, good luck. I hope the parasites aren't getting most of your calories. China, 2017, still going on today. Uyghurs, don't have religion. Don't like be a religious person and live in China. Those two don't mix. So most of the people going to those concentration camps are Muslims, or at least ethnically Uyghur. And, yes. You know, they're just sterilizing everybody, making sure you don't have any more babies. So within a generation, that population will be gone.
Chechnya, one of those that takes care of itself, but go on.
Yeah. Chechnya is 2017 to present, still going on. Anti-gay detention camps. However, Chechnya says that's not happening because Chechnya does not have any gay people in the entire country, so it can't be happening. Yep. It's not an actual issue. And then Libya. Obviously, that's Muammar Gaddafi. You know, they took him out. He was a bit of an asshole. They took him out, and turns out everybody else in that country is a bit of an asshole too. And I've heard, I haven't seen him, but I've heard you can go on YouTube at the right times and the right places and watch slave auctions going on in Libya. So, I mean, there's exciting stuff happening all over the world.
It's an ugly world.
I mean, it's one of those things that we talk about as stuff that, you know, evil shit that happened in the past. You know what I mean? Like things that evil people did then. And, you know, it's good we're not doing that shit anymore, but we're still doing that shit. People are kind of gross, and they've always been gross, and they're going to keep being gross.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. And then I would say, what if I didn't actually need a chain link fence or some, what is it, the razor wire or any of that? What if we were actually living in a giant prison camp right now?
Ooh.
What? Did you ever see there was a movie called The Matrix?
Ooh, yeah, I have seen that.
Mind blown. I'm just dropping that out there. I'm just saying you guys might want to check into it. You know what's weird is the lady who wrote The Matrix actually wrote Terminator. And she kind of said that basically Neo, Keanu Reeves there, was supposed to be the son of Sarah Connor.
Ooh, okay.
And so it's a little crazy world. It's supposed to be all tied together.
Yeah, I was just watching something about that. They said that John Connor's initials were JC. And that was supposed to mean
something. I heard her say that, but I don't know. It the whole thing is kind of a little weird. You almost even wonder what to believe anymore when you see things on TV. But right. I think that kind of proves the point. Like, yeah. Oh, the Matrix isn't real because we're being conditioned with everything. And then you're like, wait, I'm seeing something connect in there. There's like a little spark on the like little brain synapse. Mm-hmm. You see like a little like flicker and you're like, wait, is there a, and then no. Here, have some more coffee and nothing soda there. Pop and
yep.
Maybe open a bag of chips. I think you were hungry or,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up.
Another thing to think about, when it comes to these whole putting people in camps and everything like that, it always seems that it's a small number of people in charge of many. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is you're like, well, why don't those people rise up? Well, one, I think it comes down to we're very conditioned to respect authority, even though, you know, obviously you're listening to this podcast. Maybe that's not exactly your whole,
right,
your whole philosophy, but people are unwilling. Kind of like, you know, it goes back to that September 11th thing on a plane and the hijackers take it and they're like, don't do anything. You could get somebody hurt. You could get us killed. And then, you know, and then somebody's wife called and was like, hey, you know, they're crashing these buildings into planes.
Yeah, you're going to get hurt regardless.
You're going to die. But we were very conditioned and it wasn't the immediate thought of people to overthrow that or deal with that. So that's something to keep in mind. I know me and Kevin were talking earlier and malnutrition really takes away your motivation and your ability to react very quickly. You had some insight into the diets going on in Germany, Kevin, you were saying?
Yeah, I think it was Auschwitz that their diet was 60 people will be splitting 10 gallons of water with one diced up potato would go in 10 gallons of water, and it just boil until it was like a real thin, you know, like grainy water is what you're drinking, you know? And that was your food. That was your intake. That was your calories. And, you know, they do that with cults, you know what I mean? They get them on a specific diet and it makes you more susceptible. Right. I remember reading about studies about sleep deprivation. And, you know, specifically it was about Nazis. You know, they'd give them the amphetamines and they'd keep fighting for days and days. They'd keep attacking. And they said that physically, after a certain amount of days without sleep, you could still function, but your brain didn't work anymore. You just did what you were told to do. And, you know, the diets and sleep deprivation, those are things that you can actually do mind control with, you know?
Yeah.
If you're trying to, you know, get somebody to not think or not react and just do what they're told, you can kind of do that if you really are interested in fucking with people, you know, physically, and you don't really give a shit if they die.
What I hear you say, what I hear between the lines is that we've destroyed the American diet and the whole food system so bad that now we're just a bunch of sheeple. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'd stay away from low carb or high carb, low protein diets, and you should be blending right in with everybody.
Maybe it's time you guys grow your own food and start. And I will say, I guess the reason I brought that up about the food and the diet, you know, initially is, you know, you want to act quickly. You want to find allies and you need to stand up to bullies. You know, one, don't find yourself in a prison camp. Two, maybe we stand up for other people. You know, what's the long story? Well, first they came for the gypsies and then the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for the Catholics and I wasn't a Catholic. And then they came for the Christians. And then you get the idea, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe stand up before it's too late, and maybe don't be a coward. Maybe make it so that you're not dependent on the government so that you can take a stand without fear of them taking away stuff from you. That's kind of how you stay strong. Another thing is, if you're looking to have an uprising, there's certain people you want to look for. You want somebody filled with piss and vinegar. You want somebody who's angry, kind of think like me and Kevin. Think, you know, somebody who's not like, if you got the guy who's like, yeah, I'm not really going to do work because I don't like to do my share. That guy, you probably don't want to let him in on your plans because he's going to be like, oh, the guard told me if I snitch on somebody, they'll give me an extra cookie after snack time.
Right.
And that's not the guy you want to be your buddy. The guy who's been milking the system all along and now he wants to be in charge. Mm-hmm. That's not the guy. You don't want to cut that guy in on your plans. But the guy who just does work and does his business, that's the guy. The guy who's filled with fight, that's the guy. But you also want to react while you're still capable of acting. You know, they seem to take away more and more, and you just don't want to go until it's too late. And that's what I was kind of touching on with society today. I mean, you know, when they take away your guns and everything else, are you just in a giant prison camp? You know, at that point, when you have no way to defend yourself, you want to stand up before you're too weak to do so. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you don't necessarily need to be inside a chain link fence to be enslaved. You need to stand up when, you know, when you still have the ability to fight. And I don't mean by physically going and, you know, doing things. I mean, right now you have teeth by having the Second Amendment. We have teeth by being able to, you know, put things on the internet and speak our opinions and our mind. and make sure we don't just get shouted down by shenanigans, propaganda, AI, all this stuff that, you know, puts out so much other information that maybe isn't really true. Make sure you stand up for your values and you represent what you really believe and you stick up for the little guy. And that's all. That's what it comes down to. I just think we need to look out for each other. We need to make sure, you know, that we're doing what needs to be done and stepping up. So that's what I got. I just think, you know, hey, be a man. That's really what it comes down to. You know, take care of yours, learn to protect your family, start to build up your supplies, make sure you're not dependent on what they give you. Make sure that you can take a stand because you're able to stand on your own two feet. And that's really what it comes down to. So questions, concerns, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, I would say stay safe and we will talk to you guys next week.